arguably one of Rav Amital's most famous Divrei Torah. And it demonstrates Rav Amital's ability to read a Medrash metaphorically. And not every line in the Medrash has to be read literally. So the famous Medrash of Yaakov, Vayikach me'avneh makom v'yoseh mirashosav. He goes to sleep at night, so he gathers stones and he surrounds the Shkoch Jason on davening. He surrounds himself with the stones to protect himself, to carve out a campsite. You put stones around the area you're sleeping. And then when he wakes up in the morning, so at night there are multiple stones, multiple rocks. In the morning, miraculously, there's only one rock. So what's the famous medrash everyone knows? The rocks were vying for Yaakov's pillow roll, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu fused all the rocks into one boulder. So when he woke up, there was one boulder, and keep in mind, that boulder became the Matzeva, became the famous, not really a Mizbeach, but a monument, a religious monument, not just a civil monument. So what does this mean? What's the purpose of this medrash? Are we to take it literally? So the Mesilas Yesharim takes this literally. Because when you're building a world which the entire nature is meant to serve man, so this is a pretty good medrash, because the rocks have no interest other than serving a tzaddik. So the rocks are vying to serve the tzaddik. Now, if I'm not mistaken, I don't know if the Mesilas Yesharim addresses, well, then why is HaKadosh Baruch Hu fused them? What's the message of HaKadosh Baruch Hu fusing the rocks? You'd have to look at the Mesilas Yesharim. But the message for the Mesilas Yesharim is a much more literal one. How do you view nature? And nature is tilted towards the hierarchy to support man and to support great men such as Yaakov Avinu. Rav Amital felt that this medrash has to be read metaphorically, in particular in light of a second medrash. There's a second medrash in which a companion medrash, in which the amount of stones that Yaakov takes are listed, and then a further deliberation on Yaakov. In the original medrash, Yaakov just takes a lot of stones, surrounds his body, stones are vying for pillow roll, and Hashem fuses them. In the second medrash, Yaakov takes 12 stones. So that's already iconic. 12 is an iconic number for Yaakov. And he also has a lot of ambivalence about whether he'll be the one to give birth to 12 Shevatim. Avram wasn't able to. Yitzchak wasn't able to. Will he be able to? When he wakes up in the morning and the stones have become one, then he realizes he will be the one to achieve what Avram and Yitzchak failed to achieve. So in this second medrash, you have information missing in the first medrash. Number 12, internal ambivalence. The unification of the stones from HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a symbol that Yaakov will be successful in becoming the one who raises 12 Shevatim. So what's happening? So Rav Amital, famous Sicha of Rav Amital, Am Yisrael had two roles, or more precisely, the Avos and Sefer Bereishis saw themselves as pioneering two agendas. One is to spread the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to preach, to proselytize. But the second one, which is an integrated element, is to build a nation that's capable of proselytizing. It's not always the same. Avram could have been a preacher, traveled all over the world and preached. But he also invested in Parshas Chayisara, massive efforts in building a family. Yitzchak wasn't as much of a preacher, at least on record, but most of the efforts, at least that was described and told us, are internal for the family. Yaakov's a little of both. He travels overseas, he does have contact with angels, and he does have contact with foreigners, but so much of his efforts is to build that family. Now, when you're building a family in general, and in particular a family that will have that global agenda, you need diversity. You can't have monolithic. You can't have everyone being the same, especially if you're looking, in general, a community is richer if it's diverse, if it's multifaceted, if it's different colors, different hues, different traits. But in particular, if you're going to try to build a family that's capable of changing the world and improving the world and teaching the world, you're going to need many, many, many different functions. Think of sports. Sports has a broader, in your world, think of sport broader world, specialization, different people playing different roles. You can't just have everyone playing the same role on the team. Certainly when that team is not just to win a game, but to try to change the world, you need diversity. But whenever you have diversity, there's going to be conflict. There's going to be strife. There's going to be tension because people will be different and those differences will flare. And they won't just flare like they would, well, anytime you have to play together in the sandbox with someone it's hard because you'll get on each other's nerves, you'll get in each other's way. But now that there is a ideological agenda, who's going to change the world? Every person becomes convinced that my talent and my trait is the central talent. Every person becomes convinced it's not just, oh, let's just build a community, you're different than I am, let's tolerate one another. But now that it's ideological, people think, oh, my trait is the trait. That is symbolized by the story of the stones. Yaakov was wondering, will he be capable of creating people that are different, 12 different shvatim, different traits, creating harmony, and it wasn't so easy. Truth was, it wasn't easy. And Rav Amital understood that the tensions between the wives, not just the tensions between the brothers. When we start to read Vayeshev, okay, what's the real issue? Yosef believes he's the leader. Yosef believes he has talent. Yehuda believes he has talent. So it's really ideological. Now, there's no excuse. You're not justifying kidnapping your brother. You're not justifying lying to your father. But it's driven by ideological. They believe that Yosef is ruining the ideological platform of the family. Yosef believes that he's necessary to be the leader of the family. But Parshas Vayetze and Vayishlach, it just seems like petty catfights amongst wives. I want Yaakov, I want Yaakov, I want Yaakov. But according to Rav Amital, no, the Imos had a sense that they were building Shifteka. And since they had a sense they were building history, they're vying for Yaakov's attention. Wasn't just who will have the husband in their house tonight, it will be, and you see this a little bit in Rashi, that Leah realizes that she has four, then she has six, so she's counting down from 12. She realizes that she's building history. So what's happening at the stones, and here's the punchline is, the exact drama is unfolding. Each stone says, I want the tzaddik to put his head on me. What does that mean, I want the stone to put his head on me? I want to be the stone that carries the tzaddik. I want to support the future Jewish historical agenda. So this may have been actual stones speaking, or may just have been Yaakov looking at the stones around him and projecting these deliberations and ambivalences onto the stones. Imagining, well, what's it going to be if I have 12 children? He's penniless now. He doesn't have any children. If I have 12 children and I want to create a nation that's going to change the world, they're going to have to be different. But those differences will lead to vying in competition about who's going to be the chosen one and whose talents are going to really carry. So Yaakov is projecting his own internal ambivalences onto the stones. He's hearing the stones say, Allah yaniach tzadik is Roshi. Allah yaniach tzadik is Roshi. And when he wakes up in the morning, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu has rendered these stones as one, and here it's maybe more likely to read the Medrash literally, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's more likely for Hashem to perform a miracle of fusing stones than to hear stones speak. I mean, you can say they both are true, literally, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu may have fused the stones in order to illustrate to Yaakov, no, you're capable. You will be able to. You'll have strife, you'll have challenges, but ultimately you'll fuse them all, as you will in Parshas Vayechi, into one unit, into one group. Or maybe the stones are not fused, and Yaakov just thinks that Hashem is, you maybe can read it metaphorically also. It doesn't change the message of the Medrash. The message of the Medrash is not just the battle of stones. The message of the Medrash is Yaakov's future agenda being played out by these stones. And this challenge of being diverse and different. Part of what we have in our world today, and that's a big difference between the United States and between Israel. In the United States, there's a tilt towards conformity. In Israel, there's a tilt towards diversity. If you look at the Orthodox world, our world in America, it's very, very monolithic. If you look at the Orthodox world in Israel, it's very, very, very multicolored. And each carries advantages and disadvantages. You have to be sensitive. Nothing is perfect. But part of the challenge of creating a state is you need diversity. If you live in a community, you can build monolithic and you can build homogeny. Is it advisable or not? That's a separate story. When you have a state, almost diversity is built in. So how do you create harmony when there's be natural strifes? Now, Rav Amital understood another famous Medrash this way. It's a whole new way of reading the Medrash. Rachel davens HaKadosh Baruch Hu and says, well, I gave Leah the codes and I overcame my own desire for Yaakov. In fact, according to this Medrash, she actually laid under the bed of Yaakov and Leah the night of the wedding, because she didn't. Yaakov and Leah would be speaking in bed, and Leah's voice was different than Rachel. So basically, she played this code game with Rachel. With Leah. Every time Yaakov asked Leah a question, Rachel spoke from under the bed, which makes her heroism even greater. She just passed on the codes and then go somewhere and cry. She passed on the codes and then actively supported her sister in stealing her husband away from her. It's just like I captured my own desires Kadosh Baruch Hu, why are you so angry and jealous about the Jewish people because of their interest in the Goyim? I wasn't jealous about my sister. So we read this morally, that Rachel is cashing in on her moral heroism and saying, just like I wasn't jealous of Leah, you shouldn't be jealous of the Jewish betrayal, and you should stop punishing them and stop discriminating against them. Rabbi Tal felt, no, that, and this is based on a Maharal, that Rachel realizes, not just morally, but historically, that to build a nation, Yaakov will need more than one wife. It's a fascinating statement. She realized that as much as she loves Yaakov, there have to be multiple mothers. Because if there's only one mother, the similarities between the children will be too tight. So if we're looking to build a nation of 12, the 12 have to be different. And if the 12 have to be different, they need different mothers. And she's willing to sacrifice her own interests for Jewish history. She says, I know that we have to build a nation. To do that, there has to be differences. And I'm willing to take one for the team and actively enable my sister to marry my beloved husband before me so that there'll be diversity baked in. Because presumably, again, he doesn't say this, if I may tell, once Yaakov marries Rachel, he'll love her so deeply, he won't even be able to take a second wife. So it has to be Leah than Yaakov, Leah than Rachel. And because of that, Rachel says, well, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you created a world of diversity. We're a nation that's trying to change the world. The world is still complicated. If the Jewish people fail, then just take into account that we're involved in a larger program and a larger mission. So just give us a pass. She's not cashing in her moral heroism. She's saying, I created a nation that's out there to change the world. That was my vision. We're out there changing the world. That's going to come at a cost. If the Jewish people are out there changing the world and the world is still imperfect, then there's going to be betrayal, there's going to be letdown, there's going to be defaults in the Jewish experience. Just understand that's baked into the experience. You have to round out the errors. It's not Rachel saying, oh, I was such a hero, let my schus carry the day. It's Rachel saying, I program Jewish history at this moment. Jewish history is a lot more complicated, as we say, than you think, Hashem, because Jewish history is out there changing a complex world, and when we change that complex world, inevitably, we're going to fail from time to time and take that into account. So it's really, really a lust. It's a luxurious piece in Rav Amital. There's so many layers to it. The stones are not speaking. The stones are reflecting Yaakov's inner ambivalence. What is the ambivalence? The Medrash. Can I take 12 and render them one? Truth was, Yaakov was right to worry because those worries come to fruition. They surface. HaKadosh Baruch Hu demonstrates they can become one. That becomes a matseva of Jewish unity, not by monotonic, but Jewish unity through differences. That's what the stones represent to Yaakov Avinu. They're all saying, Alay Aniach HaSroshi. The greatest fractions or fractures in life is when it's ideological. Why are Jewish communities so rife with politics? Why are Jewish organizations so rife with politics? Because if you worked for Microsoft or for Google, you wouldn't think that the future of the free world depends upon whether we use your algorithm or Elon's algorithm. You both work, you both suggest algorithms to your boss, the boss chooses Elon over Reuben. Reuben, you go home at night happy, you have dinner with your wife. But if you're involved in building yeshiva together, that's already ideological. You're thinking about the future of the Jewish people. When ideology creeps in, people become very passionate. When people become very passionate, as they should be, politics and strife and contention are inevitable. So Alayi Neach Tzadik Esroshi is, we're building a nation to tackle the world. Everyone will think that their trade is absolutely vital, and Hashem fuses the two. And Rachel is the hero. She doesn't need the stones. Rachel is even greater than Yaakov because she sacrifices her own interests for a Jewish history that needs four different mothers, and that's what she cashes in. She's like, Kadosh Baruch Hu. I'm not cashing in my personal merit, but I was involved in something that carries a cost. Cost of operational cost. Operational cost of building a nation that's different, that changes the world, is going to be betrayal. They're out there trying to change the world on your behalf. Okay? Very, very famous Sikha Avraham Mital. Sorry it took a little longer, but I just wanted to unpack the various